Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Arizona 0941504, Florida L076508, Georgia 69178, Idaho MLO 208023796, Illinois 031.0058339, Missouri, North Carolina I210940, Nevada 57237, Oregon, Tennessee 184373, Texas, Washington MLO 237926.
She's a mortgage mom. She can get things done. When you're in need and don't know where to go, pick up the phone and call mom.
All right, so welcome to Mortgage Mom Radio. I am Debbie Marcoux. I am the Mortgage Mom. And today, as promised last week, we are going to be talking about that NAR lawsuit, the National Association of Realtors. What does that mean for you buyers? What does that mean for you sellers? And today I have Heather Kilpatrick on with us. Heather is a loan officer, licensed loan officer. She is also a licensed real estate agent. And she also went to school and did get her degree from, let's make sure I say it right, Heather, Southwestern. Yeah, that's right. And so she did. And you were basically, you were majoring in real estate law, correct? Okay, so I felt that if we couldn't get a better person's opinion on everything that was happening, that it wasn't Heather, right? Like, she's the only person I feel that can look at the lending side, the real estate side, a real estate agent herself, having gone to school, to law school, and graduated with her, you know, major being in real estate law. So welcome to the show, Heather. Thank you so much for joining. Obviously, you've been on the show with me before. You are a loan officer on my team. So I have got like the best of all worlds with you, which is why I love you. thank you. But I did want to talk about this that is going on, because, you know, it is all over the place. Everybody's talking about it. Real estate agents have done posts about it. I'm seeing TikToks about it, obviously articles about it. There is so much that is being talked about, and I wanted to take it from a different side. I want to talk to buyers and talk to sellers. First of all, like, what does it mean to them? And then how are things going to change? How is it going to be different? I do have a good amount of listeners who have reached out to me and said, you know, you're preaching first time buying. You're saying I need to buy a home. I'm barely scraping together my down payment and closing costs as it is. You know, how is this going to change for me? How is this going to affect things? You know, am I going to be able to buy because I can't come up with, you know, another 2.5% or 3% to pay an agent to represent me? So I thought it was a really good show for us to do. But again, coming more from the consumer side and talking more to the consumer. But then also, you know, I think it's important too for people to understand what real estate agents are doing for them. So I'm hearing a lot of lashback as well from, you know, people that are jumping on there and saying, real estate agents get paid too much. Real estate agents, I could do this myself. I don't even need them. I could have saved so much money if I hadn't had a real estate agent that, you know, sold my home last year. So I think that we also need to dip the toe in, what is a real estate agent doing for you? I've heard the argument that, you know what, you don't need a real estate agent, just call an attorney and have them write the contract for you. So I want to have this conversation, and I know you're hearing these things too, but I want to get a just a little bit different perspective on it. I don't want to be the person that is hyping this up and making this news and trying to just get views. That's not what this is about. This is about me educating my listeners about things that are happening in real estate and mortgage and important topics that are coming up about those things, guidelines when they change, and, you know, things of that nature. So I want to make sure that we're hitting all of the good stuff. So you're the girl. You're going to talk about this a little bit. I am putting you in the hot seat today. So the first thing that I would love for you to do is obviously I've read a lot of this, and so I am educated on it, but I feel like coming from you, it's got a little bit better, you know, it's coming from somebody with real knowledge, right? Okay, so I want you to kind of give people an understanding of what, let's just do a general overview. Like, what was this lawsuit all about? Like, how did it come about? Why is it here? What started this whole thing?
Yeah, so basically what it is I believe it was in the Midwest. There was a couple of sellers and I believe maybe some home buyers. They were upset with the fact that they didn't realize that commissions were negotiable. And one of the things I was mentioning when nobody could hear me was that commissions are always negotiable. So when you list a home right now with the way that things are, and somebody says, hey, I want to take you, you know, I'm going to pay 5% to you. That 5% is negotiable. I mean, you could pay 10% if you wanted. You could pay 1% if you wanted. But unfortunately, these clients were feeling that they didn't have the ability to negotiate those commissions. So they filed a lawsuit. You know, time goes by, the lawsuit goes through, there's a ruling on it. NAR, which is the National Association of Realtors, they oversee pretty much anybody who's a licensed realtor with a brokerage firm that chooses to be a part of them and use that realtor designation. They lost, I guess you want to say. And so there's some payouts that happened. And basically the whole gist of the lawsuit was that they wanted to get across, number one, commissions are completely negotiable. Number two, they want people to be very transparent. And when I say people, I mean the agents, the brokers, the buyers, the sellers, anybody involved in the transaction with how much you're making, and to also, again, know that it is negotiable and to be honest. So basically everybody in the pot hears what's going on. Everybody knows about it. Everybody has a say in it. And I guess that's kind of what they didn't feel happened. They kind of felt like they were served something and said, you don't have a choice. So that's basically what it is.
Okay. So basically the sellers were upset that mm-hmm. they wanted kind of everybody to understand what's being paid so that negotiations are more fair. Am I understanding that?
Yeah, correct. They kind of felt that they should be able to negotiate, one, whether or not they wanted to pay the buyer's agent, which has always been an option, just not traditional in sales. And, you know, if they did pay that, how much they wanted to pay. And the other part from the buyers stepping in, they said, well, what if we don't want you to pay our agent, you know, 2.5%, for example? You know, what if, you know, we would like you to pay less or what have you? So the whole idea is bringing everybody into the mix and giving everybody the opportunity to negotiate what a seller's paying, what a buyer's agent is making, and now the buyer paying the buyer's agent. So it's all out in the open and everybody knows what's going on.
Okay. So we do have some comments. So I did see Vern came in. Vern Nielsen, first person to say mm-hmm. that they couldn't hear us. Why Not is on. Love it when you jump in with us. Joanna Espinoza, thank you so much for joining today. I can see Brooke, Warm Impressions, she's in. So thank you, Brooke, for joining. Priscilla is on. Priscilla Hernandez, real estate agent out of Texas. So I love that Priscilla jumped on. Natalie Perez is on.
Hi, Natalie.
Natalie, so good to see you too. And I can see my biggest fan in the whole world. My dad has jumped on. So if you guys are here with us and you, you know, you're listening and you're enjoying, please give us a thumbs up. Tell us hi. Say hi in the feed. Let us know that you are here. We love that you guys are joining us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock on either Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Those are your three options, but you can watch us on all three platforms. And we love that you guys are here and you're part of the show. So thank you so much. All right. So Heather, you give us this general overview of what this lawsuit was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we're hearing. So the first thing that I heard that I don't necessarily agree with is mm-hmm. now all of a sudden, because of this lawsuit mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call it a win. I think that they just kind of settled.
They settled. Okay. And to be, you know, open about it, NAR kind of came to the table and said, this is what we're willing to do. There are some brokerage firms out there. I know Keller Williams, Remax, and a couple others have already settled. So NAR came in and said, this is what we're willing to do, made an offer, and it still has to go in front of the judge and be accepted, but it's highly anticipated that it will. And everything that we're talking about is supposed to go into effect sometime in July. So it's not happening right now, although you may see those changes, you know, anytime soon. There are rule changes that are coming. I think each MLS system may take it how they want to do it and, you know, move it up before July. I would say each individual MLS would be, you know, on their own with that one.
Okay. So let's talk about, you know, one of the biggest things that I'm hearing in the news, because of course they love headlines and they love to make a big deal out of everything because they want views, right?
Trigger words. Yeah.
Trigger words. Yes. Clickbait, right? I wish I had clickbait. I am so bad at it. I really feel like if I could get good at clickbait, I'd have a lot more followers. But anyway, so let's talk about that. The first thing that I am hearing over and over again are real estate prices are going to come down.
That's one of my favorites. Realistically, I would not anticipate that. I would love, you know, for prices to come down, especially being in California, it'd be really nice. But, you know, so for example, let's just take a round number and say $1 million, right? So if you're a seller and traditionally right now your home would sell for $1 million, the idea is that, and I've heard, you know, people say, oh, buyers are going to save thousands or sellers are going to save thousands. And I think that's what they're hoping with this, but I think in reality, it might go a different way. But so if you have that $1 million home and you're paying a buyer's agent, let's say, for example, 2.5% commission, that's $25,000. So what they're hoping is that the seller will say, well, I'm not paying a buyer's agent commission, so I'm going to reduce my home to $975,000, you know, and reserve that $25,000.
Never going to happen.
Let's be real, right?
Never going to happen.
If you're a seller and your neighbor's home sold for $1 million, why would you sell for $975,000? So they're most likely going to keep that price at $1 million. That's what they're appraising for. And the whole idea when this, you know, seller pays buyer's agent commission came into play in the 80s and 90s was that it was helping the buyer kind of finance the closing costs, that agent closing costs into the price of the home. So it was kind of assumed that, hey, Mr. Seller, Mrs. Seller, when you price your home, you're accounting for the fact that you're paying a buyer's agent commission, and that's where it's a little bit higher. So now they're kind of hoping to rewind that a little bit and say, now that you're not paying it, you know, bring that price down. And, you know, just understandably, human instinct isn't that way. So I would assume.
This is not to say anything negative about sellers whatsoever. It is human nature that we want the most that we can get for the home.
Yeah.
You know, and we all believe that our $1 million home is worth $2 million and our $500,000 home is worth $1 million. Because it's all of the love and everything that we put into a home. And so we want the very most that we can possibly get. So just because now the seller doesn't technically have to pay for the buyer's agent's commission isn't going to change what the price is that they want for that house. So if that seller is unwilling to pay the commissions for the buyer, there's going to be a couple of things that are going to happen. And one of those things is going to be that a buyer is going to come in and say, I understand you're unwilling, you know, to pay the commission, but we really want this house and can't afford it. We'll offer you more on the house for you to pay our buyer's agent. And so we're going to probably see a lot of that, which in hindsight, I think will actually end up driving prices higher, not lower, right?
Yeah. So what, and you know, we do see it a lot with buyers now. We have clients that have money for a down payment, but maybe they don't have the money for closing costs. Maybe that house is being offered for $500,000 and they need 2%. So they'll say, well, I'll offer $510,000 and ask them, you know, to pay $10,000 of my closing costs. That will net them that $500,000 they were asking for. I think the same is going to happen very often with this new situation. But the whole idea about it is, you know, seller, you don't have to pay this. So what is your price not having to pay this? You know, buyer, this may be a cost you're incurring now. You do have the option to ask the seller. You know, you do have the option to kind of ask for it in closing costs. So just the different options. And honestly, they were there before, but apparently not as apparent as they should have been.
Right. So I do want to get to that. So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how things are going to change for a buyer. And then we do want to talk about how things are going to change for a seller because we're going to see some contract changes, right?
Yeah.
But the first thing I want to say is that Priscilla did jump in again. Priscilla Hernandez, she's a real estate agent out of Texas. And we work with Priscilla all of the time. She's fabulous. So anybody that listens to the show that is looking for a real estate agent in the state of Texas, give us a call. If she can't help you, if you're too far outside of her zone, I'm sure she can definitely get you handed off to somebody who is great. But she did make a comment in the feed. She says, well, buyer's agents should have been speaking to their clients about commissions and how much the buyer would have to pay if seller does not cover. And many agents wouldn't have those conversations. Yeah. She says, you know, it's all the same, just packaged differently. So Priscilla's mm-hmm. absolutely right. But her comment, you know, it's going to kind of tie us into how are things going to change for buyers moving forward, right? And then I do want to talk about the effects on the seller as well. Mm-hmm. So for a buyer moving forward, because what the big thing is, and so I'll let you make sure that I'm saying this correctly. but the big thing that I'm hearing that's stemming really from this is that real estate agents right now use the multiple listing service. The multiple listing service Correct. Is what they put the listing in, and that's where all of the agents have memberships and they all jump in there and they pull listings from that service when mm-hmm. they're trying to determine what homes are available for their clients to go show them. Mm-hmm. So in this multiple listing service currently today, it will actually show how much commission is being offered to the buyer's agent. So you're taking Correct. It, you're listing the property, and you're taking that listing for a certain percentage from the seller, and you're saying, I'm willing to share my mm-hmm. portion of the commission with you if you bring me a buyer. This is how much I'm willing to share with you. So it's right. really, honestly, the seller signing up with the listing agent for a certain amount they're willing to pay the listing agent.
Correct.
The listing agent is choosing to share with a mm-hmm. buyer's agent if they can bring them in a buyer. So I think a lot of people didn't really understand that that's exactly how it worked either. Mm-hmm. But right now in that MLS, you can actually see how much is being offered to you as yeah. a buyer's agent, right? So that is something that they are taking away, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So right now, you know, in the state of California, where, you know, I'm located so I can speak, in the listing agreement on the first page, it does have that section for commission. And it does ask the, you know, total commission paid. So say, for example, you took a 5%, you know, listing, right? You're being paid that 5%, but then you have the option a couple paragraphs down. It says, I'm authorized to advertise, you know, X amount, however much you're going to give to the buyer's agent. It can be a flat fee or it can be a percentage, you know, usually split 50-50, sometimes not. Sometimes, you know, agents will take more or give more depending on, you know, what the situation is. So I think that's going to go away. I know the forms are going to change. The MLS is going to change. One of the big rules is that we are no longer allowed as agents to advertise the buyer's agent commission in the MLS. So, you know, and as a note, it does, you know, they do come out sometimes on Redfin and Zillow. If you scroll down enough, you can see it'll say buyer's agent commission. So they've tried to be pretty forthcoming with it. But it's one of those things where that part's going to go away. So nowhere in the MLS system, my understanding is that nowhere in the MLS system can you say, you know, seller will pay buyer's agent X amount of dollars or percentage. It's all completely going away. And they want it to be all negotiable now in the contract. So when you make an offer to that seller, you're either going to say in the contract, I'm going to pay my own buyer's agent commission X amount of dollars, or seller, I'm asking you to pay buyer's agent commission, or we split it, or, you know, whatever works. So yeah, that's the biggest, I guess, controversy, if you want to call it, is that there's no more remarks in the MLS about seller paid commission.
Right. So, and Priscilla did jump in again too. And she says, yep. So the lawsuit mm-hmm. was saying that buyer's agents would not show homes if commissions showed less. So there was this understanding that if it was a lower commission that was showing in the MLS, then the buyer's agent would just literally not show the property at all, basically steering the buyer away from
which is illegal,
which is absolutely illegal. So again, there's a lot of things that did come out of this lawsuit that they were mm-hmm. trying to repair.
Yeah.
I'm understanding that. I just feel mm-hmm. like we've got a little bit more damage at this point from what they did do. Mm-hmm. But I do think that a lot of it is just going to be getting used to it and mm-hmm. adapting and changing with the times and working together. So one of the things, though, is that if I'm a real estate agent mm-hmm. and I have somebody that comes to me that wants to buy a home, and I know that I'm going to go show them properties and I'm not going to know what the commission is that I'm going to get paid. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, because I think that they'll know, but let's just pretend it works exactly the way that the lawsuit wants it to, right? So I don't know what I'm going to get paid on that home. So now mm-hmm. where does that put me? I can't do my job for free, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm going to have to get something from the buyer, right? So I want you to talk a little bit about a buyer broker agreement. So this is going to be something that is going to change that has been around for a long time.
Long time.
But a lot of agents never used it. Mm-hmm. So now it's going to be something where I believe that these agents are going to be using them all the time. Like it's almost correct. Going to be required, right? If yeah. if I was the broker of a real estate firm that I had agents working with me, hanging their license with me, mm-hmm. I would be requiring one of these on every transaction. So, yeah. you know, so talk a little bit about that buyer broker agreement, Heather.
So it's almost like when you go take a listing, obviously you don't work for that listing until you have a signed contract, a listing agreement with them. It's pretty much the same now for the buyers. We here in California have what's called a buyer broker agreement. That's what we all know it as. And what it does is it basically is a contract between the buyer's agent and that buyer, detailing what they're going to do. You know, I'm going to show you houses. Here's what I'm going to show you. This is the price range I'm going to show you. And for the, you know, and this is how long we're going to work together. And for this service, you know, you will pay me X amount of percentage or dollars. That's kind of the nitty gritty of it. And so nowadays, or starting in July or possibly sooner, some people, I know we do have agents that we work with that already do them on every single client. You're going to sit down with that buyer and let them know, you know, here's what I'm going to do for you. And for that, this is what I will be paid. Now, I will either be paid by the seller or you or a combination or, you know, what have you. The buyer broker agreement here as it stands now is, you know, pretty traditional. All, you know, buyer's agent will make X amount of dollars, either flat fee or percentage. Some sellers may still offer, you know, a percentage. Hey, we'll pay 1% to a buyer's agent. Obviously, it won't be specified in the MLS. You know, and then if the agreement with the buyer and the realtor is 2.5%, then the buyer would be responsible most likely for that 1.5% left to equal that 2.5% in their agreement. So it's just a different way of looking at things. So as a buyer, now before you go out with a realtor, you're really going to want to make sure you're committed to that realtor because you're going to sign a contract with them that says, you know, this is what I'm going to do for you. And I think one of the big things is that as a realtor, and I sold real estate for years, it's really hard to commit to somebody and not have them commit back to you. I think a lot of people think that as realtors, you know, we just make a ton of money and, you know, we're living it up. And a lot of people don't realize how much work it is. There's times that we spent a year with a client. I know at one point, you know, I spent over two years working with a client. They never bought a house and it wasn't for lack of trying. We saw, it was during COVID or maybe pre-COVID, and we saw a bunch of different houses, wrote a bunch of different offers and just nothing ever panned out for them. You know, prices were going higher. So here I spend 2 years with the client and, you know, I don't make a commission on it. And it happens quite often. So now it's going to be, I'm going to work with you. This is how much I'm going to get paid. And this is what I'm going to do for you. So make sure that you really, you know, trust that agent. They're going to show you everything. It takes that commission out of it. So they don't have to worry about what they're showing you. Although, any good agent would have showed you a house that you wanted, you know,
sell them the house.
Yeah.
Well, so to just kind of like dumb it down, basically, you're going to, as a buyer now, the mm-hmm. number one thing that you need to do is you need to meet with real estate agents, kind of correct. Like you would an attorney.
Yeah.
You need to interview them and make sure that they are the person that you want representing you. Correct. And once you sign that contract, you're saying, whether mm-hmm. I pay you or a seller pays you, mm-hmm. I'm on the hook. I'm responsible for X percentage. So,
right.
you know, like Priscilla just put into the feed, she said, when all they had to do was say that this home only pays 2%, but my contract with you is 3%. So if you buy this home, you will have to pay the 1%.
Correct.
So, you know, you are now going to be signing this contract before a real estate agent is even willing to get in their car and meet you at a home or put you in their car to go show you the property.
Correct.
You're selecting your realtor. So number one mm-hmm. as a buyer that I think is the most important thing is that it's now time for you to do your due diligence, just mm-hmm. like you would with with an attorney, mm-hmm. make sure that you are signing a contract with the team that you feel is the best team for you. So that's number one.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Now, number two is do not panic. Do not freak out that you're signing this contract for 2.5% or 3%, whatever that real estate agent is working for, right? There are a mm-hmm. lot of, this is where you're going to start seeing these buyer's agents come out of the woodworks and say, I'll work for 1%. Trust
yeah.
me, you do not want a discounted, you do not want a discount real estate agent. You want a full brokerage. Okay. You want a real person working for you.
Yeah.
But back that up. Okay. So, uh-huh. but there are going, you are going to sign a contract, but I do not want anybody to.
You should sign a contract. You don't have to sign a contract. I mean, you could, there are people out there that'll go from open house to open house to open house and then choose not to work with a realtor, which you can do. I mean, that's kind of what leaves this open too, is part of the other aspect of the case was that as a buyer, you don't have to use a realtor. And that's where we're kind of waiting to see how this is all going to play out, because as realtors, one of the things that we do is, you know, we use the same forms, so we're all on the same page. And, you know, you're a member of, in California, CAR, which is California Association of Realtors, and the Department of Real Estate recognizes those files. And, you know, it's a little bit different. So how, as a buyer, if you don't have representation, because I don't want everybody to think that, oh my God, I have to have a buyer's agent and I have to pay them a fee if a seller doesn't pay. No, by all means, you have the right to represent yourself, whether you're a seller or a buyer. And maybe that works for you and maybe it doesn't. It really depends on what your needs are. If you've sold 7 houses in your lifetime and you know how it goes and you want to do it on your own, absolutely. If you're a buyer and you've bought 7 houses in your lifetime and you know how it goes and you want to handle it, by all means. But if you're a buyer and you plan on having representation, somebody to represent you and to be there on your side, anticipate signing a contract.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And again, mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to panic and freak out that they're now signing this contract mm-hmm. for 2.5-3% in commission, because that you still have the opportunity as the buyer to yeah. have that conversation with your real estate agent and say, mm-hmm. I have this amount of money to work with. I have this for a down payment. I have this for closing costs. And now if I have to pay this, I have to go back on hold. I have to right. go back on the fence and I have to keep saving before mm-hmm. I'm ready. So please, 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 Heather, yeah. only show me houses that you can get paid from. Now right. it's not the realtor that is steering the transaction. Mm-hmm. It is the buyer that is steering the transaction, and the buyers are going to do that. And it yeah. makes sense for them to do that because it makes sense for them to have representation. It makes sense to have somebody in your corner representing you and helping you. And I do, we will get into what a real estate agent does for you, because there is a lot of mm-hmm. yes. And there's a lot of media right now that is going on that is talking about how you don't need a realtor. What do they really do? They just get paid. They make so much money. Okay. So that's not true either. No. Hands down, 100% would always recommend that you have a real estate agent in your corner helping you. So I do think that we need to touch base a little bit on what a real estate agent does for a buyer mm-hmm. and what a real estate agent does for a seller. But this is where I want to kind of veer this show into, is you just heard me say the buyer now is going to be steering the agent. I can't look at houses that yeah. I have to pay you. So correct. Now okay. And then let's talk a little bit about, well, how does the agent know if it's not in the MLS? Because they're, you know, they put up this wall. They said, nobody can know. You just got to show them blind. Okay. Come on. Come on. All of you real estate agents go to meetings. Y'all pitch your listings, yeah. and, you know, in a group of, you know, 400 people at the board, you're going to be like, and my seller's given 3% commission, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be texting each other. You guys will be calling each other. Hey, my buyer cannot pay. Cannot. So is yeah. there a way, you know, can we raise the price to cover that? Would the seller be willing? Is the seller offering? I mean, you guys are going to be talking. Like, let's not.
You know, it's such a big misconception. And buyers and sellers, I mean, both of them, I think at this point, they don't realize how much of that already goes on. There's so much stuff that goes on the back side of everything, whether you're a lender or a realtor or what have you. There's a lot of things that we do on the back side that we try to keep, you know, I don't want to say you don't keep the client out of it, but you handle it and say, here are your options. And the reason that we do that is, so for example, like you're just talking about, let's say Debbie wants to buy a house and Debbie only has, you know, $30,000 to work with for her down payment or her closing costs. And if she's buying a home, she cannot afford to, you know, pay a buyer's agent a 2% or 2.5%. So she comes to me and she says, you know, hey, Heather, I want to buy a house. Here's my situation. And I say, okay, so there's a couple different options. One, if there's a house Debbie likes, as Debbie's agent, I'm going to call that listing agent and say, hey, I have a great client. She's pre-qualified. She's pre-approved. She's ready to go. She's talked to her lender. Lender's got everything. You know, I really want to show her your home. However, she's at max where she's at for her closing costs and her down payment. She really does
cash
need this.
Cash out of pocket. Yeah. I got nothing left.
She got nothing left. She's not going anywhere. You know, she really does need that seller's help, that contribution from the seller to help pay, you know, the buyer's agent fee. Is that something the seller is willing to do? And hopefully the two agents are going to talk. I'm going to talk with the listing agent and we're going to figure something out. Yeah, maybe the seller is willing to pay, you know, 2.5%, or no, maybe he's not. Maybe, you know, he or she is willing to pay, you know, 1%. Okay. Now Deb's stuck with another 1.5% she still doesn't have. Okay. Can we, you know, is the seller open to, you know, raising the price of the house to cover closing costs? So all of that kind of goes behind the scene after you've had that conversation with your buyer. Hey, Deb, look, I can go to the seller. I can see if the seller is willing to pay it. If the seller's not willing to pay it, you know, can you split it? If you're not willing to split it, can we, you know, increase the cost of the house? What would you prefer to do? And then take that to the seller and say, you know, I've spoken with the buyer, you know, here's where we're at. And then hopefully, you know, you can get a seller that's willing to do something that way. But what people don't realize is, you know, it's already been going on like that for a long time. You know, even when you're negotiating back and forth, if you have a written contract and you're in counter stages, you know, that happens. You usually know where you're at, you know, with closing costs and what have you. And you try to put that together. So when you go back to your client, you can say, hey, look, here's what they can do. Does this work for you? And if not, let's figure it out. It's just making it more out in the open that that's what's happening.
Right. So, but if you're a seller, so now let's veer this conversation towards sellers, right?
Sure.
So if you are a seller and you are thinking about selling your home and you are deciding at the time that you're signing the listing agreement with your agent about what you're going to be offering in commissions, you know, does a seller now say, no, I won't pay the buyer's agent commission? Does the seller say, yes, I will buy, you know, I will cover that buyer's agent commission? You know, and that's one of the things that sellers now are going to have to seriously consider, because it's waving out in front of you. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. Hey, you've only got to pay 3% now. You don't have to pay 6%.
Yeah, I'm going to get more money.
Right? I'm going to make more money. I don't have to offer that. So why would I? But think about the conversation that we just had about the buyers, and the buyers being the ones that are steering the properties that they're willing to go and they're willing to look at. So as a seller, are you willing to condense the amount of people that are willing to come through the property and look at it and consider it by not offering a commission for that, you know, for that buyer's agent?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really going to depend, I think, on the price point of the home, what type of a buyer, you know, would be attracted to it. Is a first time buyer that's coming in that is maybe scrimping and saving to get every little last penny they can? You know, are you a luxury home where the person coming in doesn't care what they spend? You know, nowadays, we really see a lot of first time buyers coming up, or people that are, you know, maybe selling a small, you know, condo or something and moving up to a first time home. So I think really it's going to depend, but yeah, I think, that the buyer is really going to control what they go see based on what funds they have available to them and what a seller is or is not willing to contribute, you know, to the mix. So as a listing agent, when you go in and you have that conversation with your seller, you know, you really want to make sure that you explain to them, you know, look, you don't have to pay a buyer's agent commission. You could put your heels on the ground and say, I absolutely refuse. Don't even bring it to me. I won't look at it. Or, you know, you could say, hey, I want to take it on a, you know, come in and see basis. You know, this person might offer this. This person might offer that. Let's look at it as it comes in. Or you may say, look, I know I'm a move up home, or I'm perfect for a first time buyer. And, you know, I know that they're going to need my help. So yeah, I am going, you know, to offer. It really depends, I think, on what the situation is, what price point your home is at, and what you as a seller, you know, want. Maybe you're somebody who, you know, needs every single dollar out of that house to go buy that next step. And you would love to pay a commission, but you need that extra, you know, $20,000 or $10,000, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, I think that's going to, you know, be interesting to see how everybody kind of comes into it differently now.
Yeah. But I don't think that anybody should feel like they have to put their plans on hold. They had planned to purchase a home. They had saved enough for the down payment and the closing costs. And now they feel like, oh my God, I have to save more. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no reason right now to put those plans on hold. There is a way to work around it. Now, the one thing that I will tell you that is the most important thing about all of this is getting pre-approved.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to. This is the number one most important thing. And your lender, your loan officer, me or Heather, your loan officer has to have a conversation with your real estate agent. It is an absolute mandatory at this point. You need a team that is going to be working for you. And unfortunately, in my opinion, I believe that the short end of the stick in all of this that came out of this lawsuit was the buyer, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, the seller had the opportunity to buy that home when the seller paid for their real estate agent. And now the seller is going, in normal times, the seller would then sell on behalf of this new first-time buyer that's coming in to buy the property and so forth. And it worked that way.
Yeah.
And really, at the end of the day, my opinion is that the buyers really got the shaft in this whole situation. It's not making properties less expensive. Sellers aren't going to be selling for less money because they have to pay less money. The buyers are really going to be on the hook for these commissions. So they need to make sure that they're buying homes that sellers are willing to help. So again, seller, keep that in the back of your mind. If you want, you know, if you want to have the most amount of people coming through your home and offering this property out to the most availability of buyers, you're going to want to offer that commission. But it is really, really important that we do that pre-approval now, because depending on the type of loan that you are doing determines how much that the seller can pay for you as a buyer on your behalf. So, you know, you can walk in with an offer that says, I would like you to pay my realtor's commission, and I would also like you to give me X amount of dollars to help me towards my closing costs. And you could very quickly find out that you've asked for too much money, more money than your loan program will allow. So in that situation, me and Heather as the realtor, we need to have that conversation that says, hey, Heather, this client's a vet and they want to buy a home, and they have, they're a no down, like they're a VA no-no.
No money down, no closing costs.
Okay. They're a VA no-no, and that's what we call them. So I need money for closing costs for this person, for this vet. And I also need to make sure that if it's a property that won't cover the commissions, I need to get the commissions covered, right? Well, the vet is going to sign a contract, because they're going to, the agents are going to want a contract signed, right? I agree to pay, but veterans are not allowed to pay a buyer's agent commission.
So the agent,
their agent representing them has to know that they have to write the contract different. It's not a credit to help offset the costs. They are putting it in writing, seller to pay buyer's, you know, agent
buyer's agent's commission,
of X dollars amount, right? The credit for the closing cost can be seller to give X amount of credit, but you can't have it as a credit for the buyer to pay, because now you're, the buyer's still paying in that verbiage.
In theory, so
In theory. So it has to be seller to pay.
Correct.
My agent, right? So it is really, really important that the pre-approvals and the agents and the lenders are getting together and they're talking.
So one of the things that, you know, I've been on a bunch of Zoom meetings with Carr, with NAR, and Carr, you know, and one of the things that kept hitting last week was, well, lenders are really going to have to change the way they do loans. And, you know, Fannie and Freddie are like, no, we don't. And it's really sad, because I think that what was kind of being pushed was, you know, lenders are going to have to change. They're going to have to allow for closing costs to be financed. They're going to have to, you know, and the thing is VA does not allow that. There are no plans that I'm aware of, or maybe you're aware of, for VA to change that. So I think people need to understand is that if you have a buyer who is a veteran or even active qualifies for a VA loan, nowhere in the contract can it say the veteran or person using the VA loan can pay the buyer's agent closing costs. They can't do it. And I think so we're stuck there. So now we've just hurt the veterans, right? We literally have to go in and say seller to pay buyer's closing or buyer's agent fee of X, right? So then people say, well, can the veteran really sign a contract with a buyer's agent because they can't pay? It right. all has to be worked out. So that's where you would go on that contract and say, look, your seller's going to have to pay this and you have to know going in. So going back to where you were saying, you know, sellers, be prepared. If your house is not offering a commission, but the house next door is, unfortunately, that VA buyer has to go to the house next door. Potentially, right?
Right.
The whole point is, well, they can go look at the at house A that's not paying the commission and request it. But at the same time, if you're a seller saying, absolutely not, we're trying to respect that too. You know, you respect the buyer that has to have it paid, but then you're trying to respect the seller that says, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a tough situation.
And I mean, a vet can get, the seller can contribute towards closing costs.
Yes.
For a veteran, absolutely.
Yes.
But a veteran is not allowed to pay a commission. So
correct.
It would have to be worded differently for them in their contract. And again, that's where it's so important for the lender and the real estate agent to talk before they go out and they start looking at homes and writing offers.
Yeah.
For FHA, the maximum that you can get on an FHA loan from a seller is 6%. So if the buyer needs 3% towards closing costs and 3% to cover their buyer's commission, so they ask the seller to give them a credit of 6%, no problem. Totally cool. All good. Good to go, right? However, if you are, and FHA's really is 3.5% down, right? Well, some people decide to go conventional. They want a 3% down conventional for whatever that reason might be. Maybe it's a condominium complex that isn't FHA approved.
Right.
I don't do a lot of 3% down conventional anymore because FHA, you know, fixed their mortgage insurance premium and FHA's got a little bit lower interest rate. So honestly, I love FHA loans. I try to go that direction when I've got a client that's got less than, you know, has 10% or less down. I try to go the FHA route anyway. But with a conventional loan, if you have 3% down or 5% down, you know, or you've got less than, you know, 10% down, you cannot get a credit bigger than 3% from the seller. 3%. That's it. Now, when you start putting bigger down payments on conventional, we can go up to as high as 9%. If somebody's trying to buy an investment property,
yeah.
An investment property, you are capped. It doesn't matter how much money you're putting down at 2% credit. So again, it is going to be, I think the biggest thing here is going to be that you get pre-approved. You know what your budget is. Your agent and your loan officer work together as closely as possible to make sure that you have the cash that you need. You can show the funds to close. You have to have a very good conversation, buyer, with your agent. You need to be shopping for your agent. So if that means if you are the type of person that wants to meet multiple people before you sign a contract, go do that. Start your interview process, whether that's over the phone or in person. If you are like me, which I'm terrible, but usually the first guy that I meet that's super nice that I it seems to make sense, I'm like, sure, let me sign. But realize, buyers, that you're going to be signing some contracts. That is going to be something that is different than it
normal
used to be. Absolutely. And sellers realize that, you know, you could be lowering the amount of people that are willing to come and see your home if you are unwilling to, you know, sell your home without enough commission.
I don't even think it's like willing to look at your home. I think it's are capable of looking at it.
Correct.
You know, if you're short 10 grand and you can't get it, you know, you can't get it. That's not the house for you at the time.
Right.
It's going to be interesting, but I think it's totally doable. I honestly think you're just hitting the nail on the head when you say you really have to talk with the lender, because now not only are you going to say, here's how much I need, right? But now you have to say, okay, well, I've got this real estate agent that I really love. I want to work with them and their commission. You know, I want people to understand is that, because, you know, we didn't really talk about agents or whatever, but a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of overhead and they, you know, there's costs upon costs upon costs. So in order for them to take that time, you know, and show you, you know, they have to be paid something. And I always tell people, you know, you go to work for 8 hours a day. What happens if your boss says to you all of a sudden, oh, I don't want to pay you today? You know, everybody goes to work. It's just a different form of work and a different form of how you're paid. And I think one thing still needs to remain the same is that, you know, as a realtor, you don't get paid until that property closes. So you could go into escrow and it could fall out. Maybe it doesn't work for you, and which happens all the time. You know, you have a problem with the loan or something with the house or, you know, what have you. And then you go back to square one. Well, you don't get paid for that, you know, one section right there. So really make sure that you have an agent that's willing to stick with you through thick and thin. And, you know, willing to, if this one doesn't go through for whatever, we do the home inspection and something comes back on it that the seller didn't know, wasn't disclosed, whatever, doesn't work for us. Okay. And you cancel, that that person's still going to be there and not be like, well, I showed you this and, you know, I want a commission. And I think that's how everybody sees commission.
Yeah.
And
that's
not it.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. And this, honestly, I didn't realize how long that this show could have been, because there's nothing that we've talked about that isn't important for people to hear. But I really wanted to kind of dive into what is it that a real estate agent does for you, mm-hmm. because I do believe that agents have gotten a very bad rap all over social media. Like, it's been disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, I have been in this industry for 30 years now, started mm-hmm. off in real estate as mm-hmm. a real estate agent. I personally decided to get into lending when I got pregnant with my oldest, Manny, who is now 23 years old. I just didn't want to have to put people in the car, sit open houses over the weekends. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be working, because real estate agents work
24/7
off.
Yes.
When you're off, they work. But get this, they work during the day too, because while you're working, then they're working with me, the lender. They're working with the escrow company.
Escrow, title.
The termite guy. They're meeting the physical inspector. They're meeting the appraiser, opening up the door. Mm-hmm. Like, real estate agents.
24/7. Okay. 365. So
they work. And so, but I don't feel like this show, we've got enough time to truly get
into a whole nother animal.
What a real estate agent really, truly does for you. And one of the things that you said earlier in the show, Heather, was that a lot of times, I think real estate agents have gotten really good at their jobs, as far as they are putting out a lot of smoke and fire behind the scenes while you're off working, and you don't even know anything that's happened. I have this one transaction right now, to be fair. And the buyer's agent that I am working with has had to ask the seller, and I'm not even, not the seller, the seller's agent, I'm not even kidding, probably 19 or 20 different times for the same document to come over signed by the seller. We keep getting it back with the buyer's signature on it, but not with the seller's signature on it, right? So there's things that are happening that I can't get their loan cleared to close until I've got this contract that's fully executed with the seller's signature, right? And they don't even know it. They're over there, like, you know, working and on lunch break, and they're thinking, we're getting loan documents tomorrow. And I'm like, I'm shitting my pants. Like, am I gonna get these documents out? And I'm texting the realtor and I'm going, you need to get me this. You need to get me, like, you guys want docs tomorrow. Like, Friday's Good Friday. Like, you guys want to close, right?
Yeah.
So pardon my language. Pardon my French.
That's why I'm dying.
But there's a lot that a realtor,
there's a lot.
Just one little simple thing, right? But
no.
There's so much that a real estate agent is doing for you.
I think okay, so here's,
make it a whole nother.
Here's my whole thing. And I will totally do another show on it. My whole thing is that you're an amazing realtor if you're putting out all those fires and your client doesn't even, I don't want to say doesn't know, but doesn't have to stress out about it. So when they come to you, you go to them, you say, hey, Mr. Seller, I need your signature on this. I happen to know it's a guy on this transaction, but you go to the seller and say, hey, seller, I need your signature on this, and you can't get it. That buyer client doesn't need to know that there's, you know, I don't want to say doesn't need to know, but shouldn't be stressed out at the fact that you can't get what you need from the seller. It should just smooth, you know, you want to make this transaction smooth and seamless, and whatever I can do to alleviate the stress on that client, I will do. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't know everything that's going on. They do. Hey, you know, buyer, I still need this document from the seller. I'm working on it. I'm hoping to have it by today. I'll let you know as soon as we get it. As soon as we get it, we'll get those loan docs out, right? But not, I've asked 29 times and I can't get it, and it's been a week.
And
that's us behind the scenes, right?
Right. And something as simple as that. I mean, this is buying a home is literally one of the top three most stressful things that you can do in your life, between death, divorce, and purchasing a home. So if you were getting updates,
oh, gosh.
Like, let's just pretend that you were representing yourself.
Okay? Oh.
And you're at work and you're trying to do your job.
Yeah.
And you're a teacher. So
your phone is going off every 5 seconds with Debbie's messaging me about, you need to call the seller and get this. Oh, did you call the seller and get this? When can you call the seller and get this? Has the seller responded? Have you heard anything? And you're like, I'm trying to teach. No. That's where your realtor comes in and says, I'm going to contact the seller and work on getting this. And then I'm on the phone with Debbie going, hey, Deb, we're working on it. Hey, Deb, we asked for it. Hey, Deb, did you see the email? Hey, Deb. So you're absolutely right. Realtors work 24/7. We're available Monday through Friday to the lender, to escrow, to title, to the inspectors, to termite, whoever has a regular 9-to-5 job. Then our clients get off of work at 5 or 6 and say, hey, I saw this house. Can we go look at it? Sure. Let me call. And then the fun ensues. How do I get my client into this house? I'm calling the realtor. Am I calling the seller? Am I making an appointment? Does it have a box? Do I need a combination? Whatever. And then I call back and I go, absolutely, we're in tonight at 7 o'clock. Does that work for you? That's all you see, not the running around of, hey, at 6 o'clock at night, right? And then you go show it. And then my favorite is 7:30. I absolutely love my clients. They're like, I love it and I want to write an offer. That's my favorite thing. I'm like, absolutely. I am up till 10 o'clock writing that offer, getting those signatures on that offer, because if I don't, it could sell tomorrow. And then I've lost my clients their home. And it's funny because I had a client say to me at 10 o'clock, she's like, oh my God, you're a rock star. I'm like, hey, we need to get this done, right? That's my theory. And hopefully a lot of agents have that theory, but it all goes on in the background and nobody sees it. Lending, real estate, whatever. We're available on the weekends. I've had clients, even lending clients, say, I'm off on Easter. Is that okay? Call me up. What time do you want to talk? I am here for you.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even realize that Easter was the same Sunday
until had to today. Tell us. I know. I'll be with you. So, but yeah, you know, so people have to realize that Thanksgiving, Christmas, because not everybody celebrates those holidays. So you have to be available and you have to put family aside, friends aside, plans aside. And I really don't think that people that are not in this industry understand that.
No, they don't. And to be honest with you, I really think that we should do probably
show
number 2 about all of the things that a real estate agent does for both a buyer and for a seller. What are they doing within that transaction?
Or what should they be doing?
Right. Yes, but I think that it is time to actually bring that to the public because I don't think that they truly understand. And I also in that show want to talk about what a real estate agent makes because you would actually be quite surprised that by the time that you average out the commission that they actually take home in their pocket, they're very close to a minimum wage person.
Correct.
So I think that it is very, very important that we do that. So I think maybe next week we get on and we do this again.
Yeah.
Priscilla did jump on and she says, I wonder how this will work with new construction. So if I were to guess, I would say that new construction, there's a builder. The builder is literally the seller.
The seller.
And I would think that most builders are just like current builders where they just want to get the buyers in and they're going to be offering commissions. But what do you say about that, Heather?
I think it's going to be an interesting situation because they themselves are the seller. And a lot of times what people don't understand is that, even if you're buying a new home, but on the majority of new home builders, they do work with real estate agents to bring the client in. Super important if you're buying a new house to have representation on your side, that really nice person in there meeting you at the new homes works for the seller. And it's funny because I had an agent call me the other day and he has a client looking at new homes here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I said, okay, well, does it have a Melrose? And he was like, I don't know. Okay, does it have a homeowner assistant? I don't know. Okay, does it have this? Did you ask these questions? And these are questions that, you know, that the agent needs to ask or the buyers need to ask. And a lot of times they don't know to ask. So it's super important that you do have a buyer's agent when you go in there. They'll find out whether or not they're cooperating with brokers or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful that don't.
That don't,
there's a handful that do. And I don't think that's really going to change, to be honest with you, with anything that's going on.
I think they're going to offer the same. I just don't think they'll put it in the MLS like everybody else. So you'll call and say, are you cooperating? And they'll say, yeah or no.
Right. So Karen, my mother-in-law, she jumps on and says, thank you, Debbie and Heather, for a great show. So you are very welcome. Nikki, our favorite agent in Lake Havasu City, Nikki Boudreaux got on and she says, love you Nikki. Ladies are great. I love Nikki too. She's fabulous. And then Natalie Perez jumps on. She says, amen, sister. So I am feeling like really, really wretched right now. I think that's the first time I've ever said a swear word on my program. But
it's,
you know,
true. That's, yeah. I think that's the thing is people don't truly understand what goes on the behind the scenes so that you don't have to have that on you. And, right. There are a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. So I think that it'd be good if we next week actually do one more show together, Heather,
okay.
where we talk about everything that a real estate agent does for a buyer and everything a real mm-hmm. estate agent does for a seller. And then I think that will give a lot of the listeners the understanding, because just like mm-hmm. you did say, obviously part of what they wanted to have come out of this whole thing was giving buyers and sellers opportunities to negotiate more, possibly right. represent themselves, right?
Right?
So I think that it would be really good for buyers and sellers both mm-hmm. to hear from start to finish within a transaction,
okay.
what does the agent do, which mm-hmm. then in turn, obviously they can be internally mm-hmm. thinking about, could I handle all of these things on my own without having that help of a
sure.
real estate agent, right?
Because so that is always an option.
It is always an option. But mm-hmm. I do think that the real estate agents work really, really hard. I think yeah. that they've gotten a really bum rap and mm-hmm. a whole lot of terrible social media that has come out of this situation. And I do think that it's time to bring to light mm-hmm. Exactly what it is that they're doing and that they're out there and that they're busting their butts. I think that's very, very important. So I would like to do that next week with you
okay.
if you're okay with it.
Yeah, and ask questions. If you're somebody that is like, well, does the realtor do this? Because maybe they don't know. I'll answer it if I can.
Yeah. Right. So Why Not did ask a question, which I love it when he jumps on, because he is actually a first-time buyer, just got
cool.
Started self-employment.
Love it.
He is working towards his goals, which I love. And so he's on here every week and he's asking questions. So Why Not? You're one of my favorite fans. He says, is it necessary to already have a house in mind before you contact a real estate agent? So that answer would be no. The S bomb was hilarious and brought home your sincerity.
It touched.
I love it. Thank you so much. I was feeling like really bad over here. Like,
no.
I'm starting to sweat. Trust me, I have a potty mouth. I'm not gonna lie.
We both do.
But I don't do that on air, and
no.
I do want to make this appropriate, and I am very professional. It is something that I do with my friends and family. But you know, is it necessary to already have a house in mind before you contact a real estate agent? It
no.
is not. Honestly, before you contact the real estate agent, you should be contacting the lender.
Mm-hmm.
Your loan officer is your number one phone call. And I know the real estate agents have probably been watching this show and they agree with everything that I've said and they're loving that I'm supporting them. But I am not going to support the fact that they should be the first phone call. The lender
no.
should be the first phone call.
You really need to know.
You do both. You give your 2 cents.
So as a realtor, I want to know. So first of all, the buyer needs to talk to the lender first. Very, very, very first phone call. You need to find out what you qualify for. And what you qualify for may not be what you want to spend. You might qualify for $1 million, but you only want to spend at $700,000. So it's really important for you to talk to your lender and figure out where do you want to be purchase price wise. Then you call your realtor and you say, hey, I talked to my lender and Debbie said I'm qualified for $700,000. Now I know as a realtor, when I show you $700,000, you're qualified for it. The last thing I want to do is have a client call me and say, hey, I saw this $1 million home. It's gorgeous. Can we go look at it? I need to buy right now because my lease is up in 2 weeks. And you run off and show it to them and come to find out they don't qualify for it. For me, I don't care that you ran me out to see a house. I like looking at houses. That's fine. But what happens is as a buyer, you get that expectation of $1 million and what $1 million brings to you. And then when you go back down to your $700,000, you're like, oh man. So it's really important. It's like kind of going to the car, the car show or whatever, sitting in the Ferrari and going, this is awesome. And they're like, oh yeah. But then you qualify for the Honda and you're like,
it's the disappointment.
It's the disappointment factor.
And it's really hard to go back. It's really hard to find.
Either that,
what you want.
Either that, or you say, oh, I saw this house at $700,000. $100,000, but you really qualify to $1 million, and you're like, gosh, and you get discouraged. This doesn't have as many bedrooms as I need. I want a bigger backyard. I need RV. But at $1 million, you can have that. So you really, really need to know what you have to spend and work with before you make that call to the realtor. Talk to the lender first, always.
So I had, looks like Utah Real Estate School joined and made a comment on, and this is on my Instagram. I'm so excited. Okay. This is my first comment on Instagram. We just finally got on Instagram Live like last week, figured out how to do it. So we are streaming on Facebook and YouTube. So the majority of our comments have all come in off of YouTube. Mm-hmm. So obviously Instagram can't see those chats that are coming in that I'm reading out loud. But Utah Real Estate School, which I love, says, yes, thank you for being an advocate. And you are so welcome.
Yeah,
I have been in your shoes. I have done it. I chose to go to the dark side of lending, or you can say you chose to stay on the dark side of real estate. Heather is the dark side. Heather,
I'm all encompassing.
But she has kept her real estate license. Yeah. But Heather, you sold actively. That was the only thing you did for how many years? Don't lie.
25. Yeah. 25. Long time. Yeah. Yeah. That just means I'm older. I did for 25, and I've grown up in it. So it's interesting to see how things have changed. So like we're talking about, you know, the commission structure that was, you know, brought into play 30 plus years ago, you know, now it's changing. And back then everybody adapted. I mean, there was no internet, you know, you used to have a book that came out a month after you submitted your listing to it. So hopefully, you know, the listing was available when you went to show it. And
okay,
and
I'm going to end this one with a funny. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 1993, when I started working with my parents, I passed my exam in 95 for my real estate license. Okay. But in 93, I was working for them.
Yeah.
Kind of as, you know, like an assistant. Right?
Mm-hmm. Learning. We all start off like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got grounded a lot in high school. They're probably looking at me like she's really young. I was 16 years old. Every time I got grounded, I had to go to work.
That was the punishment.
So I was pulling microfiche for property profiles. I was running the MLS for them to set up appointments on the
DOS MLS.
It was DOS. So that's where I started in 95 when I turned 18. Yeah. My thought process at that time was that I was going to get my real estate license, work for them as a buyer's agent so that I could put myself through college, pay for college. Okay. It was a great idea.
Yeah.
But when you're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old and you are selling real estate, it's not a part-time job.
No.
There is nothing part-time about it. It wasn't like, oh yeah, Deb, go to school all day, like work with these trends. It didn't work that way. I literally ended up doing it, you know, full-time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I did get pregnant with my son that I said, all right. This is what we're going to talk about next week. So if you guys are liking this show, tune in. We're going to do it again. We're really going to get into the nitty gritty of what a real estate agent does go through and what expenses that they have and how much money that they're earning. And then what is it that they are doing for you before I hear one more person complain that real estate agents make too much money. I personally went to lending because I wanted a W-2. I wanted health insurance. I wanted a normal schedule. Now, mind you, I get calls all the time. Weekends, nights, can you write me a pre-approval letter? Yes. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people know that lenders work during the day because we are funding loans. We are wiring money. We are working during the day, 9 to 5, right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted a little bit more normal schedule, knowing that I was going to have this baby. I wanted health insurance costs, which by the way, real estate agents don't have.
Nope.
I wanted a W-2. I didn't want to worry about that 1099 and filing those taxes. A real estate agent doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have, you know, an office that
you didn't have to pay for.
That I didn't have to pay for. I wanted documents that I didn't have to pay for. Yeah. A computer that was handed to me by my company to do my work, right? So we are going to get into all of this. I think it is really, really important that we do drive home everything that a real estate agent does for you. Every cost that is included in what does it cost them to do their job. I think that it's important that you guys do understand that so that you do know that what they're getting paid for your transaction is a lot less than what your normal salary at your job is for the hours that you work. So I think next week will be a great show. I'll end it at that because we are already
we're over probably
an hour. We usually make it a 30-minute show, but that's okay. If you guys loved this show, I hope that you did. We want you guys to join us. We want you to do it again with us next week.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, we are live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you want the link to join, you don't want to have to remember, oh, that's right, it's Wednesday, it's Mom Day. Text, you guys can text me, text the word LIVE, L-I-V-E, to 844-935-3634. That's 844-WE-LEND-FOR-YOU, W-E-L-E-N-D, and the number 4. Text the word LIVE. That will actually just get you opted in. I promise I do not call you because you texted me, but that will opt you into one text message a week. You're going to know what we're talking about and you're going to have a link to join us. And that way you can do it live with us. You can put your questions into the feed and you guys can jump on and be interactive. So I hope you guys all loved it. Utah Real Estate School says, love the show. See you next week. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So love that. And you guys all have a fantastic rest of your week and happy Easter. I just figured out today that I have baskets. I have things to do.
Yeah.
Friday is Good Friday.
Good Friday. And a lot of places are closed Monday. So yeah.
Yeah. I just found that out today. I mean, I guess busy,
your son reminded me. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a problem.
I got things to do. So you guys all have a fabulous rest of your week. We'll see you next week.
Holidays.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Arizona 0941504, Florida LO76508, Georgia 69178, Idaho MLO 208023796, Illinois 031.0058339, Missouri, North Carolina I210940, Nevada 57237, Oregon, Tennessee 184373, Texas, Washington MLO 237926.
She's the mortgage mom. She can get things done when you're in need and don't know where to go. Pick up the phone and call mom.